Spotify now allows you to rate the podcasts that you love on the app itself. So if you enjoy listening to Stories After Dark, please give it a 5-star rating by going to the show's main page on Spotify and clicking on the rating or star icon below the podcast description. Thank you. There are different stories of how Aswang can present themselves, so they can be very difficult to spot, as they can take the form of a cat, dog, boar, tree, or more terrifyingly, a human. You're listening to Stories After Dark, a Philippine true crime and mystery podcast powered by Anchor and released exclusively on Spotify, with new episodes out every week. These are 3 stories published on Reddit, with the first one called When Creepypasta Jarred a Distant Memory, posted by Redditor Neon31 on the No Sleep subreddit. The second one, The Manananggal, posted by Purple Nightshade Lady on the Creepypasta subreddit. And the third one, called My Encounters with Aswang, posted by Tabs123 on the Paranormal subreddit. The first story, When Creepypasta Jarred a Distant Memory. We had a social network system set up at work, and a friend had created a page where everyone can post jokes or whatever, anything that would mostly prevent employees from browsing within company premises. Some people started posting creepypasta. One in particular stuck to mind because the setting of the story was kind of close to home, something about a rumor that went on in my hometown in the Philippines. Creepypasta are internet-submitted stories that are mostly fiction, but the rumor was something I had heard of as a kid. I'm usually a skeptic, but this one gave me chills. The story was about a guy who went with his girlfriend to visit their parents in what appeared to be an American rural town with a forest where people disappeared after dark. It turned out that there were these humanoid spirit of the forest type demons that fed people to the trees. The guy's girlfriend got captured and the parents were feeling hopeless, so the guy burnt the entire forest down and was somehow able to rescue his girl. In Filipino folklore, aswangs are creatures of the night. By day they're normal people, but at night they turn into monsters. They feed on human blood and viscera, with pregnant women being their preferred victims. If Thailand has the floating head ghost with its internal organs attached to it, the krasu, the Philippines has the manananggal, which is a type of aswang that sprouts wings and splits its body by the waist into two. The upper half of the body roams through the night and perches on rooftops, inserting its needle-like tongue through openings in houses and stabbing people with it like a giant mosquito. Then it sucks the victim's blood and internal organs, similar to how a krasu would feed. Some say that humans who sell their souls to the devil and followers of the occult become aswangs. It is also said that aswangs are cursed, unable to die until they get someone to carry the curse in their stead. I live in the suburbs east of the metro. Back in the early 2000s, due to economic reasons, a lot of people, including my family, switched from using liquefied petroleum gas or LPG for cooking to using charcoal. Demand for the latter rose, so a few enterprising people went to the mountains to chop down trees to make charcoal. The Department of Environment and Natural Resources stationed police officers on the roads to the mountains to curb the illegal cutting of trees. There was even a limit imposed of 10 sacks of charcoal or chopped wood to be transported per vehicle. My mom, a superstitious person like most people who grew up in a rural town, had befriended a traditional healer. This said healer was a mystic who had this weird air about him. His knowledge of spirits and the aswangs was deeper than that of common folk. See, the average Filipino knows that at night, some aswangs turn into nightmarish creatures like a huge boar, a big black bird, or a big black dog. What not everyone knows that this mystic does is that some aswangs turn into trees during the day, waiting for possible victims in tree-covered areas at night. I did hear about the confessions of a previous occult follower on a TV show who claimed that he did turn into an aswang, and that he once turned into a tree for a whole day. I knew about aswangs from tales told by parents to keep their kids at home at night. The thing about the swans turning into trees, I only heard about it when I was in high school. The mystic my mom befriended once told us something about an incident involving the cops. Most of the people who made charcoal didn't burn wood in the same forest they cut the trees from, lest they start a huge forest fire. While some of them did have a nearby place to make them, those who didn't transported them first to a different place. Cops once stopped a truck that had more than 10 sacks of combined wood and charcoal. They, along with the driver and porters of the truck, were all stunned to find a sack with bloody, severed limbs mixed in with the wood. The scared driver and porters were taken in for questioning for murder, yet they insisted that all they did was chop wood and transport them along with some charcoal. Their story was corroborated by the other charcoal traders who all saw them arrive, chop wood, and load the wood along with some charcoal into their truck. No bloodstains were ever found on them or on the spot where they chopped the wood. Their axes and chainsaw also didn't have any traces of blood. The limbs didn't provide any identification to anyone. Rumor was that the limbs came from an aswang. The second story, the Manananggal. 10 years ago, some of my really close friends and I went on a trip that I will never forget. There were 6 of us, all of us couples, and all of us friends since grade school. After high school, we all went to separate colleges, but we would meet up every summer back home. We had been discussing our last getaway for 4 years. This vacation needed to be great before we all started to live our adult lives after college. We wanted seclusion, warm weather, beaches, and adventures. We did our research and presented our ideas, but some of my friends were still thinking too close to home. I, however, wanted to get out of the States. Malacapuya Island, Coron, Philippines. Our plane arrived in Palawan in the early evening, and in the morning we traveled by boat on our way to Malacapuya Island. Our first night, we ate and drank with the locals of Coron. We asked about the best things to see and do around the islands. They talked of shipwrecks we could explore and beautiful waters to swim. The more we talked and drank with them, the more they began to tell us legends from the islands. White ladies and ghosts stuck in time from the shipwrecks of the past. Local fishermen spoke of mermaids and sirens sitting on the rocky cliffs of the outer islands. These were the reasons the islands were sparsely inhabited and why we were warned to stay only within the tourist areas. The next morning, our boat left and we made many stops at other islands along the way to Malacapuya Island. We arrived at around supper time with 3 other couples. Our first night on the island was fun but uneventful, considering what was yet to come. We woke up late in the morning and during brunch, we decided on the itinerary for the rest of the day. An hour or so later, we took our packs and started our hike for the day. The path twisted and turned amid branches from tall trees adorned with beautiful exotic flowers. About an hour before darkness began to fall, we stopped and set up camp a few hundred yards away from a blue-green lagoon. By the time darkness fell, we had a rolling fire and full bellies. After the fire fizzled out and we had all taken a swim, we tucked into our tents for the night. Hours later, I woke up to the faint sound of a scream. Startled, I sat up and listened, but heard nothing more. I figured it was just a dream, or an animal. I climbed out of the tent to go pee and walked a few paces into the woods. Once I was sure all of my friends were still asleep and there were no animals in the immediate area, I found a tree under which I did my business. As I stood, I heard twigs snapping deeper in the forest, moving closer to our camp. As far as I could tell, whatever was approaching was walking on 2 legs at a somewhat lazy pace. I squatted behind a set of bushes, facing the snapping sound as I slunk slowly back to our tent. Once I reached the tent, I stood up to look back into the woods while I slowly unzipped the tent's door flap. A few feet into the trees, a large woman-like creature stood with a large rack of antlers and jagged wings stretched out from its back. With a screech and the gut-wrenching sound of skin and muscle ripping, the creature ripped itself in half with the wings carrying the torso high above the trees. I quickly tucked myself through the opening of the tent and zipped it shut behind me. I sat on my sleeping bag, too afraid to breathe. I'm not sure how long I sat there, but it felt like forever before I heard the very faint sound of someone screaming in pain. I could feel the fear as the scream echoed in my ears until it was barely audible. I knew then that sleep would not come to me for the rest of the night. The next morning, when everyone awoke, they could all see how tired I was. I didn't go for a morning swim with them. Instead, I spent my time tearing down our camp so we could leave as soon as possible. I was afraid to tell my friends what had happened because I could barely believe it myself. By the time we made it back to the beach where we first arrived, my friends could tell something was wrong. On the boat ride back to Coron, I finally told them what had happened. The captain of our boat said it sounded like I had a run-in with a manananggal. He said that they would come out at night and feed on the blood of pregnant women and the sick. Local villages have become so accustomed to nightly visits that they started to leave the terminally ill in a hut along the edge of the surrounding islands in order to keep the manananggal away from the pregnant women in the villages. We were all lucky to have made it home in one piece. The third story, my encounters with Aswang. The Aswang is the Filipino version of the boogeyman. There are many types, from mythological creatures to shapeshifters, depending on the stories. My experiences with Aswang happened in Iloilo before I was a teenager in the late 90s. My mom, my two younger brothers, and I slept in one bed. It all started once when I woke up in the middle of the night. I sat up, holding a throw pillow in front of my face, with my right eye covered. What I saw shocked me. There were two women sitting on the bed. One I saw clear as day, while my view of the other was partially obstructed by my pillow. The women had messy hair and their skins were kinda wrinkly, like lizards, and gray in color. They were just sitting there, very still, their faces turned away from me. Scared, I slowly lay myself back down on the bed, but they started to move closer. I must have touched the skin of the closest one because my foot felt something that was cold and with the soft texture of a diaper. I inched away from them, but they only inched their way closer toward me. I kept moving away until I hit the corner wall and I thought to myself, I'm fucked. I didn't have a blanket anymore. All I had was the throw pillow, which I used to cover my face completely. What happened next freaked me out. I heard a weird sound while they were doing something to my hair. I didn't know if they were running their hands through my hair, but the sound seemed like they were. I then started to think that they were biting my hair and letting it run through their teeth, as what I heard was like the sound of one's arm being scratched in long, fast strokes. Then my mom must have sleep-talked because she yelled out something like, "Get away from here, you bad spirits." And it stopped. I mustered up all my courage to open my eyes and saw that the two women weren't around anymore. I then saw my brother had a blanket wrapped tightly around him, and I pulled as much of it as I could, but I only got a portion to cover myself with. I was praying underneath that blanket when it all started again. There were hands touching me all over, up and down my body, and all the while I heard that scratching sound again. I didn't get to sleep at all that night, and hiding underneath that small portion of blanket I shared with my brother felt like an eternity. I was so relieved when morning came. I told my mom about what had happened, but she didn't believe me, even though I was clearly shaking in fear. The next night, I slept close to my mom. I had told her that I wanted the lamp to be left on, but she didn't allow it. Later on that night, we heard flapping sounds, really loud flapping sounds. There must have been two or three entities making those sounds. When it stopped, my mom turned on the lights and told me to go sleep with my grandpa because those flapping sounds could have come from a few manananggals. My grandpa's room scared me even more because his window was only covered by bamboo, and it was a big window. My grandpa told me not to cover myself with a blanket, that I shouldn't be afraid, and that I should yell back at those entities to leave me alone. As I was trying to go to sleep, I started to hear a voice. I asked my grandpa if he could hear it too, but he said no. The voice was that of a man whispering a phrase over and over again, quote, "Tulog na mga bata," end quote, which literally translated to, quote, "Sleep now, children," end quote. Morning came and my mom finally believed in the thing or things that had been terrifying me for two nights. Since then, nighttime always scared me. Every night back then, I'd wake up feeling cold and warm at the same time. There was this one time I felt something weird touching or biting my legs, like how it would feel when you fold your lips over your teeth and try to bite yourself. I would get vivid nightmares and I'd be moving really slowly in them. I'd wake up in the middle of the night with someone whom I thought was my brother sleeping next to me. But when I would grab hold of the nearby flashlight and turn it on, the entity beside me would move away. Another time, my mom and I woke up in the middle of the night. Our room was at the end of the hallway and we kept the door open all the time. Our bed was situated so that you can see down the hallway and into the kitchen. Well, on this particular night, the power had gone out and we heard a loud click, like someone or something had turned on the gas range. I could see the fire on the gas range flicker in the kitchen. Next, we heard footsteps, dancing footsteps as if there were people dancing to the fire. Whatever was making those footsteps accidentally knocked down a cup from the kitchen counter, so they stopped for a while and then later started dancing again. And then there was this one time when someone sleeping next to me sat up and immediately ran out of the room. I was thinking that the aswang might have seen daylight and scurried out of the house even though I didn't hear the front or back door open and close. Once, one of my grandmas came to visit and out of the blue she asked me if I wanted to sleep over at her house. I agreed, but I was really scared to go to sleep that night since her house was in a dark part of a subdivision with just a few houses, and at night all you can hear were frogs croaking. Strangely, that was the only time during those years that I slept through the night without any interruption. My mom had a witch doctor check me out. The witch doctor told my mom to watch over me closely the following Tuesday and Thursday because those were the days they were going to take me away. Everyone in the house stayed up all night on those days, but nothing eventful happened. My mom also had her house blessed, but the visit still continued. It went on for 2 years. The first year was rough, the second not so much. I'd only wake up in the middle of the night with someone lying next to me who wouldn't be there in the morning anymore. 8 years later, my sister told me that an aswang must have seen me and taken a liking to me. It all stopped when we moved to Guam. From my understanding, the aswang's supernatural powers or influence couldn't reach me from over 1,000 miles away. Thank you for listening to Stories After Dark, a Spotify exclusive powered by Anchor. This episode was produced by me, Derek, and the stories I narrated were written by Redditors Neon31, Purple Nightshade Lady, and Tabs123. Music is by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com. Stay tuned next week for a new episode, and to make sure you're updated about the show, please follow Stories After Dark on your Spotify app as well as on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If you'd like to see the references used for this episode, suggest cases, send personal stories, or further support the show, you can go to storiesafterdark.ph for more information. All of the links are in the episode description.